Good evening, denizens of Internet Wonderland. It's time once again to kick back, relax, and enjoy the smooth sounds of the melodious cat playing across your digital airwaves. Join me as we veer down the rabbit hole and view inside the looking glass. Good evening, denizens of Internet Wonderland. I hope my voice finds you well. Welcome back to my home. This is Cheshire's Place. As always, I am your host, the melodious one, Mr. Cheshire. You can always find me in my small little corner of Internet Wonderland by clicking a like on the Facebook group page, Cheshire's Place, a looking glass in a logical madness. You can listen to this episode and all other content on anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many other platforms. And if you ever feel like dropping a line, saying hi, or giving any thoughts or suggestions for upcoming episodes, feel free to email me at CheshireLookingGlass@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at @PlaceCheshire. So, it's been a while since we've done anything relating to self-help and affirmations. Every once in a while, it's needed to reset, to be able to understand that certain things have to have an explanation. Now, I'm in no way a licensed professional, but I'd like to hope that I have a little bit of insight to certain things that I'll be able to help people out. So, tonight, because the changing of the season is happening, and a lot of people do go through certain changes whenever the seasons happen, most notably depression. And I figured that it would be a good topic to talk about. But I'm not alone for tonight's episode, because with me, I have one of the outstanding members of Internet Wonderland joining me tonight on this topic. Hold on. I have to do the intro. He is the International Lothario of the Silver Stage. He is the Silver Tongue Devil. He is the sexual chocolate of Internet Wonderland, ready to tantalize and tantalize the juices of all the female listeners. Let's give it up for D Twizzle. Hey, D, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Happy to be here.
So, this topic, going with depression, I mean, I know I've covered it before in other seasons, but this is something that's very much near and dear to you as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, you want to give a little bit of insight on why you wanted to do this topic?
I feel like this is a topic that you know, we're slowly but surely coming out the closet about as far as being able to openly express, you know, how we really are feeling and understanding that, you know, that this is something that affects a lot of people, you know, and sometimes it's a what they would like to call, you know, an invisible wound, something that you can't always see by looking at someone. A lot of people have gone through very different bouts of depression. And what I've discovered is how, you know, depression comes in many different forms. Some, you know, what people will assume, like what you see on TV is sometimes can be an, you know, exaggerated version of it. And most people feel like, oh, if it looks like that, you know, that's what it's supposed to look like. But it can come in many different forms. It's not just like one, you know, depression thing fits all.
Right, right. So, you know, there's a lot of mythos and a lot of misconstrued information about depression. You know, and you're right. Just seeing commercials, television shows, movies, you see a lot of misinformation provided because it's for the form of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do perceive it that way. Like, oh my God, if this person is extremely like Eeyore-based mopey, they must be depressed. Or if they're extremely happy, then all of a sudden they get extremely mad. Oh, they must be bipolar. No, it isn't the case. So we're going to discuss a little bit about depression. We're going to talk a little bit about the different types. We're going to talk about some therapies that people will do, whether it's medication, whether it's psychotherapy, whether it's the mood lighting therapy that people do. So we're going to discuss a little bit about that. And we're also going to discuss different ways on how to better manage depression. Now, once again, we're not trained professionals. We are not therapists. We are not psychologists. We're not psychiatrists. We're just individuals that have been there. And we deal with depression in different ways. You know, maybe there are certain ways that I deal with depression that D. Twizzle, you know, thinks is, oh, a little bit out there, but he may be willing to try. You know, it's the sharing of information right now. And the more information that's out there about depression, about anxiety, about PTSD, you know, and letting people know that they're not alone, it allows us to have open and honest communications about these things because it's no longer a stigma. It's no longer a major taboo to have depression or anxiety because we're becoming a more open society to understand how to assist people with these issues. So let's begin. So D. Twizzle, you want to kick us off?
Yeah. So I want to start off kind of more of like a, you know, my personal experience.
Yeah,
so,
go ahead.
For someone like me, when I had first heard about depression, it was kind of like that. You know, I thought it was negative because it's like, oh, you're just feeling sorry for yourself. You know, you got to, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and, you know, build a bridge and get over it. You know, and with my career field, especially just, you know, joining like the military and things like that, you know, stuff like depression and stuff wasn't really something that we openly expressed, at least when I first joined. And, you know, as I've gone through the years, I've seen a lot of changes within myself. You know, I'm not able to really identify what it was. You know, and it wasn't really until I had made a career change that I actually decided to go, you know, seek help and things, you know, so I didn't try to let it spill into my work, and I wasn't, you know, administratively told to go do this. So I went on my own free will to kind of figure this out because I'd had a lot of days where, you know, I would be around people and things and, you know, but I still have like this sense of loneliness and stuff. And from my background, I'm like an only child. So I don't really have like brothers or sisters or a lot of people to always kind of springboard a lot of these thoughts. You know, so if something were to go down at work or my personal life, you know, the best way I would try to deal with it is try to ruminate over it. You know, let it kind of spend a lot of brain power trying to focus on, you know, things that are going on or things that are going wrong, you know, and try to deal with it that way, you know, because I was too prideful to really try to seek professional help until a little bit later. But even with that, that was even its own kind of ordeal. And I'm still trying to, still trying to find my way when it comes to, when it comes to like talking about depression and stuff.
No, it's understandable. And you actually bring up quite a few good points here. Now, a lot of people that have depression, especially those within the older generations, you know, there's that extremely hard-pressed mentality of, yes, you know, you're just being too hard on yourself. You have to just grin, bear it, and carry the weight. No one should know that you're suffering or weak or feeling weak. You know, from baby boomer generation to Gen X, when depression was really beginning to be talked about, especially after Vietnam and the idea of PTSD and everything, you know, even to this day, a lot of people around my age still have that mentality, especially a lot of men, because you find that a lot of men that do suffer from depression are not willing to talk about it, and they just let it fester until the point where it turns into suicidal ideation. So it's one of those things that has to be broken. You know, the stigma of holding it in, of not showing emotion, of not expressing that you need help. And gentlemen, this is going out to you. It is okay to admit that you're depressed. It is okay to admit that you need help. It is perfectly fine to ask for help. This is not the world where we were taught just hold it in. Because during this day and age with everything going on, we cannot afford to hold it in anymore. If you need help, it's okay to get help. So, with that being said, let's talk a little bit about the different types of depression. Now, some of them are due to specific circumstances. Some are not. Some are more, how can I put this? You can be born with depression. Mm-hmm. There can be traumatic experiences that link to your depression. It all depends on what happens, so to speak.
Yeah.
So the first one we're going to talk about is major depression. Now, all of the information I am getting is actually from the National Institute of Mental Health. And I refer to them quite a bit whenever I do research on depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, anything medical. Now, with major depression, now this normally includes symptoms of depression most of the time for at least 2 weeks that typically interfere with one's ability to work, sleep, study, or even eat. So if you take a look at movies, if you take a look at TV shows, a lot of characters traditionally will actually suffer from major depression. It wasn't until like the mid-90s that characters that had depression started having specific defined depressions, but this was always the one that people went to. So what are your thoughts, D-Twizzle?
No, I mean, major depression always, I think when people look at it, are like your big cases, like your Kurt Cobains or, you know, the ones, and that's usually like the go-to people, just like, oh, you know, that's what he was known for. You know, he had his ideations with, you know, suicide, yeah. And listened to all of his songs, and, you know, he's kind of like the poster child for like depression and things like that. And it's
right,
you know, it, like I said, it, and I think everyone assumes that everybody has major, and like, even I've learned that's not always the case. Some people can have like those episodic episodes when it comes to that, but might not be fully diagnosed, you know, with something called major depression. It's right. Just more of just, you know, it, like, you know, how someone would have like a nervous breakdown, a moment in time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but not, you know, and I think, like you said, it goes into some of the mischaracterizations of it, you know. Someone could have that and it be, you know, for that moment, and then it's, you know, something that, you know, kind of doesn't rear its head. It's not like a chronic or a long-term form of depression, you know. But
right.
But when you have something like major, you know, obviously there's a lot that goes into that. You know, it's not just like, oh, I just didn't feel like getting out of bed on Saturday like I normally would. That must mean that I am this.
No, I mean, they're like, let's be realistic. There are times where individuals will just not want to get out of bed. You know, we have those stresses and strains in life. You know, it doesn't mean that we have major depression. No, we just have a moment in time that we're depressed. Now, could it eventually be major depression? Could it be persistent depressive disorder? You know, maybe. But as humans, with the wear and tear of normal day-to-day life, there are going to be times where we have depressive episodes, and that is understandable. But if you have constant and consistent depressive episodes, seek help. Ask questions. You know, go to a licensed professional, get diagnosed, figure out the ways of treatment. You know, as I said before, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there are times where I don't want to get out of bed because I feel ran down. And yeah, I've had bouts of depression. But if it's more than what you can handle, definitely seek help. So the next one that we have to talk about, D-Twizzle, is persistent depressive disorder, also known as dysthymia. So this one is often included less severe symptoms of depression that last much longer, typically for at least 2 years. So what are your thoughts on this one?
This is actually a very personal one for me, because that's actually something I've been diagnosed with. So I have persistent depressive disorder. And kind of like the definition is, it is a mild form. It's a mild / long-term form of depression. From my experience dealing with this, the best way I could to use an analogy, it's kind of like, it's as if, you know, you've taken a shower and everything like that, and you feel like you're clean, yet for some reason there's still like a film of dirt that still like covers your body. You know, it's like a sense that, you know, whenever I would always use like a Tupperware example, where it feels like, you know, you have those Tupperwares that get worn out and it has like the little like weird residue things on it because it, you know, you've used it so much. And for me, you know, that's kind of how it is. Like, it looks, it still's functional. It can still, you know, you can still put food and things like in it, but it still has like this stain that is still, you know, persistent in there, no matter how many times you try to put it through the, you know, the dishwasher cycle or whatever type of, you know, soap you use to try to clean it. You know, that's still a very evident part. And I know for me, it was kind of hard for me to kind of understand that, because, you know, my my day-to-day life would consist of me feeling as if, you know, very isolated, very lonely from people because I didn't feel that I fit in, you know. And even when I was a child, I'd had these thoughts because, growing up in Detroit, there's a certain, like, type of, like, you know, mentality and way that you go about doing things. And from my background, you know, I was used to different experiences that, you know, people from Detroit probably would never really have. And, you know, I wanted to be, you know, part of, you know, groups and people and things like that. But I just knew, you know, I never really fit in with some of the same interests and things that they had. So I felt different. You know, I would be, you know, accused of, you know, quote unquote, acting white due to the ways that I talked and expressed myself to people. And that wasn't how they talked. And, you know, feeling, you know, ostracized for that. And, you know, just trying to find, like, my way. So I tend to kind of, you know, close in. And then throughout, you know, parts of, like, my high school and adult life, you know, I just felt that I wasn't, you know, enough. You know, that I didn't have, you know, the best charisma or, like, the way with the ladies or, like, girlfriends or, you know, hanging out and doing all these other type of things, you know, more tend to keep to myself. You know, and even as growing into an adult, you know, a lot of those things would still kind of manifest. You know, I could be with a group of people, but yet still feel very distant, you know. So it's something that, you know, I've been seeking help on, you know, taking medical treatment and things and psychotherapy to try to go through it. But like I said, sometimes I know for me, whenever I think that I'm at a good spot, you know, those thoughts are still there, you know. You know, and my whole thing is just trying to turn the volume down for it, you know. Sometimes there's some days where it is very dull, but, you know, I'll have, you know, moments and stuff at work. You know, to give you an example, like this past week, I was, you know, dealing with some stuff at work, and, you know, I'm sitting here at my desk, and it's like a Friday, and most of the people who work days are already heading home, but here I am just trying, you know, ruminating, you know, over some things that were going on at work, and all I could think about in that moment was just how I felt like I was incapable with my job. You know, I've been messing up trying to get these numbers and figures right. You know, I have all this, you know, work and stuff that I gotta try to knock out over the weekend now to try to, you know, deal with. And, you know, I'm kind of sitting there at my desk almost like at the point of tears because, you know, I'm trying to convince myself that, like, you know, everything's gonna be all right. And, you know, that you are capable of, you know, doing good work and stuff, you know. But, you know, so, but it wasn't really until I had spoken with another coworker just so happened to come by, and I had a chance to kind of express myself and kind of say how I was feeling in the moment, and it helped. And, you know, at the same time, I had to, like, kind of fight back from almost, you know, bursting out in tears. But they were more like tears of, like, frustration, because I was, you know, just irritable and angry with myself, because, you know, I'm like, I can't believe I'm, you know, having to deal with least, you know, things at work, and everything feels like it's too much, and I don't know why, you know, all of a sudden this is becoming the most hardest, you know, job in existence, you know. So it's just, but like I said, with these symptoms, you know, this stuff can definitely stay with you. It can, and I know for me, I've been battling, you know, this form of depression for years now. And there are moments of victory. There are moments where I feel, you know, that I have this under control. But I'm not going to say that, you know, it's always like that. There's a lot of days where I just feel like burnt out, you know, emotionless, very mundane, going through motions, and, you know, just, you know, physically present, but, like, mentally just somewhere else. I'm thinking about, you know, all this stuff I have to do at work and getting anxiety. So it can be difficult. And this form of depression is something that sometimes, you may not be able to see right away because it's so, it's something that surprises people. I know I've told people about this disorder, and they're always surprised because they're like, "Mom, you seem like such a jolly, happy person more often than not, you know?" And I tell them, like, yeah, you know, sometimes it's just a reflex that I try to do to, you know, try to keep people thinking that I'm, like, okay, you know, like, with, like, Robin Williams and stuff. Yeah. You know, and I found out about his situation, that really hurt because, you know, I'm thinking, like, this guy is, like, the most funniest man on the planet. But on the inside, you see that he's, like, you know, really struggling with things internally. And I can kind of have a little bit of an understanding of, like, where he's coming from a little bit, you know, now that I've, you know, gotten help and stuff.
Right, exactly. I mean, and we'll probably dive in a little bit on famous celebrities that have had depression. I mean, if we don't have time to dive into it, we'll always go into it at a later date, but we just want to get the information out there. So the next form of depression is prenatal depression, which occurs when women experience major depression during pregnancy or after delivery, also known as postpartum depression. And I actually had a few friends of mine that gave birth not too long ago, and they suffered different levels of postpartum depression. And there's been a lot of cases where there's been mild cases and then severe cases in which it caused the mother to either have suicidal ideations or in certain cases, and there's been some news on these cases where the mother harms the child. And there's ongoing information about how to treat prenatal depression. You know, whether it's antibiotics or, you know, psychotherapy, which they try not to use medication too often because it could affect the child if the depression is ongoing while during childbirth. So they try enlisting, you know, psychotherapy for it. Counseling, talking. This is why there's also doula services for, like, ensuring that the pregnancy goes smooth and that all the care that the mother needs is put to the forefront and taken care of. So if you have information, if you have any inquiries about the role of a doula, please look back to last season's World Doula Week episode that I did with Nikki Tickerhoff. It's very informative. And also there's a lot of information on doula services in every state. So if you are experiencing prenatal depression, seek help. Doulas are there to actually assist you with making sure that your mental health is being taken care of along with your physical health, because both of those ensure that you have a happy, healthy baby coming into the world. So, so your thoughts on it, D-Twizzle?
Yeah, I've heard, you know, of the term. I know for me, I've never known anyone who's actually close to me who's had something like that. You know, but I do hear about it, and it is something that, you know, it's kind of ironic in a sense because, you know, a lot of times everybody talks about childbirth, you know, as a joyous occasion, and, you know, the idea that someone could suffer through depressive symptoms post, you know, giving birth. You know, I know sometimes it's something that I've never actually put a lot of thought into it. You know, you hear the term, but you don't see it manifest as much in the public eye. It's definitely one of those forms of depression that I feel should be, you know, brought to light a lot more.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because it's something that I feel like sometimes falls by the wayside, because when most people mention a depression, it's usually like the adult you know, most people are like adults and the idea of someone having kids, you know, but like I said, it, especially if you're in a at a financial or economic, you know, situation where, you don't have as much family support or, you know, support from the father or whatnot, I could see how that could lead into a lot of, you know, it can take your mind to a lot of bad places because you're, you know, because you're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to be able to raise this child. And now this baby's here and it needs so many different things. But at the same time, it's like, I need, you know, X, Y, and Z as well. So it's, you know, like I said, it is, I can imagine it could be a very, very rough experience having to deal with something like that.
Yeah. So it really is. Due to the fact that there's so many different factors, and also you have to think, during pregnancy, there's a lot of hormonal imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're getting too much of a hormone, you're decreasing in hormones, and it takes a while for the body to readjust to where it needs to be. So, and sorry, I mispronounced it. It's not prenatal, it's perinatal.
Oh.
Perinatal. So, real quick correction on my part. It's perinatal. Now, postpartum depression is the one that most people hear about,
mm-hmm.
because that's after the birth. It's the adjustment of having the child at home, dealing with the needs of the child constantly. Now, I don't want to say it's rare to hear about the depression like before childbirth or during childbirth, like actually going through the trimesters and everything. I don't want to say it's rare. It's just one that isn't talked about too often because there's a lot more emphasis on postpartum depression. But both of them should be discussed more. Both of them are very standing, you know, concerns relating to the health of a mother. Because you never know what they're going through. And a lot of women do have that same mentality of, you know what, I have to handle this. I have to be strong. And this is all going to loop back to, if you need help, seek help. You know, there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can't do it alone. If you need to seek that, like, if you need to seek help, seek it. If you need to vent to friends, vent to friends. If you need to look for a professional, look for a professional. You know, don't hide the fact that you have depression. The more you try to hide it, the more you try to bottle it up, the more it's going to affect you. So, now let's talk about seasonal affective disorder. So, this is also known as seasonal depression. So, and seasonal depression is very big up here. Because, let's be realistic, here in North Dakota, we have road construction season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have a little window for fall. Pretty much by the time, like probably a week before Halloween, we'll probably get some snow. It always happens. And then we get winter, like kicking off super early. So, with seasonal affective disorder, this comes and goes with the seasons, typically starting in late fall, early winter, and it goes away during spring and summer, which is understandable because the most depressing time is winter. I mean, unless if you love to go skiing, unless if you are very active during the winter, this is mostly the time where most people are very stationary. You know, this is where people really aren't doing too much. They're not going out too much. Especially if you live alone. This is the time where you can really get lost in your thoughts. Now, what are your thoughts on seasonal depression?
I think, I mean, it is a big thing. You know, I had lived in England for some time. And I know that was something that they were bringing a lot more awareness about due to, like you said, due to like the weather being a big thing, because you get a whole bunch of like gray days. You know, it might not be like rainy or anything like that, but you get like this really gray type of weather where there's always clouds looking up. So like when the sun does come out, it is kind of a big thing over there. But
yeah,
I know there's some moments where, you know, even sometimes it even affect me a little bit because it's just like, man, I haven't really seen the sun in a hot minute. And every time you look around, everything gets like super dark. You know, I know being out here in North Dakota, I could, you know, definitely see that a lot, especially once you get hit with snow and stuff. And or even if the temperature drops really bad and you're like, man, I don't even, you look outside and you're just like, nope, you know, just like today's not that day, you know. And so,
and but, you know, it's somewhat upsetting whenever, like, I'm not sure if you heard this whenever you first got up here, but when mm-hmm. I first got up here as a young airman, the first thing I heard is there's only four things to do in Minot, North Dakota. Eat, sleep, go to the bars, and fornicate. Already, and mind you, that's what a lot of people will do during the winter. If they're not eating, if they're not sleeping, they're probably going to the bar. Because, I mean, even when the weather is bad, if you go somewhere, it's better than just staying home alone. Then, mm-hmm. of course, fornicating, because that is just a basic human carnal concept. But already with hearing that, as a young airman, I was like, wow, this place is just, I don't know what to think. Mm-hmm. Like, I came from a hometown, or came from a small town, not a hometown. Well, it is my hometown, but, you know, I came from a smaller town than Minot. And hearing that, it made it sound more boring than my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, living here for so long and seeing the weather and actually being affected by the weather, and it does weigh on you because you want to be able to go outside and enjoy doing something, but yet you get a blizzard. Or in some parts of the state, oh, hey, we get a tornado. You know, there's a lot of factors that deal with seasonal depression. But thankfully, there's more dialogue about it, and there's becoming more treatments, especially the light therapy that we'll be discussing here after a bit. So the final one that we have to talk about is depression with symptoms of psychosis. Now, this is a very severe form of depression where a person experiences psychosis symptoms such as delusions or disturbing false fixed beliefs or hallucinations. And everyone knows hallucinations as hearing or seeing things that others do not see nor hear. Now, personal story time. I actually had a student, and I really don't like talking about work too much,
mm-hmm.
but I actually had a case where a student suffered from depression with symptoms of psychosis to the point where this individual was hearing and seeing things, and it caused this individual to lash out and attempt to attack someone. And this was not on center, thankfully. It was actually off center. So, you know, it's a real thing. And it's one of those moments that you don't really understand the depths of depression until something like this occurs, because there's a lot of different things that happen with it. So what are your thoughts, man?
When I, like, psychosis, like, I don't have as a big background, but just listening to you describe it, it's like, you know, oh, man. I mean, I couldn't imagine, like, you have, you know, depressive symptoms and things, and then it seems like the psychosis level just brings a whole new world into it and just, you know, turns into something that's just even worse, especially if you're going into and you're having those visions and seeing things like that, you know. It's like, I guess that's that moment when you end up possibly being hospitalized.
Yeah.
You know, like, especially in a situation like that, because I couldn't even imagine. being in a situation like that, and it hurts that, you know, stuff like that even, you know, exists, because, you know, due to like whatever brain chemistry or biological differences within the member that gets them to, you know, that level.
Exactly. So. Now, we also do have to discuss bipolar disorder, which was formerly known as manic depression or manic depressive illness. And this one is becoming a lot more common. Mm-hmm. You know, people with bipolar disorder experience depressive episodes where they feel sad or indifferent or hopeless, and they have a very low activity level. So almost similar to major depression. You know, you don't want to do anything. You struggle to get out of bed. You struggle to want to just interact. Then, excuse me a moment. Then this is also, sorry. I was drinking Dr. Pepper before D-Twizzle came in, and it's beginning to affect me with the burps. So I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. But also, there are manic episodes or unusually elevated moods where people feel very happy or irritable or more up, so to speak, with increased activity levels. So this is why they call it bipolar, because you have those moments of real lows, but you have those moments of like being super high where it's go, 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 go. You know, some people like with bipolar disorder have explained it in a way where it's like being on like a super stimulant.
Okay.
So it isn't like being on. So think like finding the most potent coffee in the world and lacing it with like 15 different types of speed and not having a crash for like days or even weeks. And then once you crash, you just completely crash and there's your low. So that's what bipolar feels like. You know, you have that super high. You're happy, you're just going, but you just all of a sudden drop and you're at your lowest. So, and bipolar is actually is becoming one of the most common depression states that we have in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I do need to try to find the statistics on that, and I will here in a moment.
Yeah. It's, like you said, it's starting to become more prevalent for sure. You know, personal thing about me is I'd always, you know, and I would be in therapy, you know, and I would talk about like my dating life and stuff, and I would tell them, I was like, I don't know, you know, what it is or how this stuff happens, but I always end up dating somebody who, you know, ends up having bipolar, you know, disorder in some shape, you know, shape or form. Some might be a little more, you know, more evident than others, but like without fail. And, you know, for the longest time, I'm scratching my head on this because I'm like, I don't know what it is, you know, because I know I have, you know, my issues and things like that. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, how come I can't find anybody who, you know, doesn't have that? And everybody who I've, and granted, these relationships never, you know, turned really into really anything. Most of them be over within a couple of weeks, you know, and then everything would just kind of fall apart, you know. And I'm thinking like, man, I don't know how this always ends up happening. Maybe because I think that like these are the only people who actually give me the time of day.
So, okay, so let's stop right there, man, mm-hmm. because now I want you to know something.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the expression is, everyone attracts a specific type?
Yep.
Sometimes I find that to be extremely true. Mm. You know, there are some people that naturally will attract, like, good, moral-bound
individuals.
Right.
There are people that will, attract like the gym girls. There are those that will attract the girls that are like have daddy issues.
Mm-hmm.
I hate using that term, but at the same time, it does fit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's just something about you that just attracts those type of girls.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
It could be. Or maybe it's just, luck of the draw. But honestly, the thing is, and this is my own personal opinion about it, who we attract in life is who we're meant to influence in some form. You know that expression, we're meant to meet people at specific times.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe in that wholeheartedly because it's part of the law of karma. People that we attract in life, we're meant to meet for some reason. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Maybe in essence, the girls that you've dated, y'all were meant to meet for some unique karmatic reason. And ultimately, the reason is just to show you that eventually down the road, the right individual is going to come into your life. And yeah, this individual may have like bipolar. In a way, this is preparing you to be able to help this individual grow. Let them know, yes, I understand you. I understand that you have this. I'm going to help you and support you however I can. Whenever you have your high moments, I will be there. Whenever you have your low moments, I will be your rock. I think that's the reason why.
Mm.
It's one of those things that I can try to explain it however I can, but until it actually happens, it's just me guessing.
Like you said, it's an educated guess on that, and I try to still look at it like in a positive light, because like you said, when the moments are good, it's great, and then when it's not, like everything gets kind of distant and, trying to better understand where they're coming from and putting them in their shoes and not being so, selfish about it. I don't really like feel bitter, but, like you said, sometimes it kind of does like beg that question because you're wondering I know for me, it's all about trying to find like the high quality, but we'd probably have to do a specific episode about attraction things and stuff to try to really dive into it. But
yeah, that's season 6, month 2, actually.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, because that's around Valentine's.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of dating relationship episodes around Valentine's Day that we're going to be talking about.
Sweet.
But ultimately, man, think of it this way. Right now, you have the perfect opportunity to experience a fruitful dating life before you have to settle down. I settled down way too early in my life because I got married while I was young. I was married for about 5 years. Life lessons. But you have the opportunity to learn, grow, and be the man that you need to be in order to be able to have a partner that is going to accentuate you. Because that's the biggest thing about dating. A lot of people think, and I don't know how this went from depression to dating, but hey, let's go with it. But a lot of people think, I need to be in a relationship. I need someone in my life. Honestly, no, you don't. Everyone has that carnal need to want someone in their lives. Unless if you're asexual. You don't actually need someone in your life. You don't need to have someone in your life to make it feel complete. You need someone in your life that is going to complement your lifestyle, just as you will complement their lifestyle. So, who knows? You may find a woman who is extremely funny, loves comic book, loves theater, loves music, loves traveling, loves cooking, you know, loves, you know, wrestling. Who knows? Maybe you and her will have a shared interest in Nikita Lyons, which would be awesome.
It should be awesome.
But at least when that moment comes, you will be ready and she will be ready as well. You never need anyone in your life. You just need people to complement your life. That even goes with friends. It goes with family. Like, a lot of people say, oh, hey, you know, that's your family. Well, yeah, I'm related to them by blood, but it doesn't make them family. Because you can have an entire group of friends that you're with every single day, that you vent to, that you're willing to tell them anything and everything, and you know that you're going to be feeling safe. That can be your family. I'm the only one up here in North Dakota. Now, I have a cousin that lives in Montana. I don't see him. But if you take a look at the people I surround myself with you, with Monkey, with Miss Stitch, you know, even down to like my students at the academy, y'all are my family. You know, I can still talk to my family back home, but they're not here. Y'all keep me going. Y'all complement my life. You know, if somehow y'all moved away, yeah, I'd still be happy because I know that I'd still be able to reach out to y'all. Even though you're not here. It isn't like, no, you can't leave. Don't leave me. I need you. No, it's no matter what, I know that you'll have my back just as I have yours. And that's how relationships should be.
All right. No, exactly. Exactly. You shouldn't, you know, you don't want to be codependent and having that person be your, you know, your sun and moon and everything like that, because for the average person, you know, not designed to have to sit here and put on so much, you know, emotional baggage, you right. know, compared to, you know, we have our own, and then, you know, your job isn't so much to be like, well, let me take your emotional stuff and I'll carry mine and yours. It's kind of more like, well, we both, you know, have these bags, you know, and we're both basically carrying both of them, but we're all still going the same way with our same things that we're dealing with. You know, it's not like I have to take on more stuff. You know, we're both going to that same destination. We just have our bags with us in both of our hands.
Yeah, and the idea is to help each other lessen the load. It isn't taking on one person's burden completely. No, it's about figuring out ways to work through everything together. And that even goes with working through depression.
Yeah.
So, all right, so back on track.
Yep.
Although I think we may dive into relationship a little bit more on this one too. Because, you know, this is, you know, being in a relationship and dealing with depression, there are certain things that the partner is going to have to realize in order to help their significant other deal with depression. But anyways, now there's also other depressive disorders that have been added to the diagnostic classification of DSM-5, which include disruptive mood, dysregulation disorder, and also premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or PMDD. Now, there are different signs and symptoms of depression that do pop up. Now, are most signs and symptoms very noticeable?
More often than not, some of them are more nuanced than others, you know. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's so important to get that medical diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you have to think, people that are good at acting and good at masking. I mean, take a look at Robin Williams. You know, take a look at, like, Chris Farley. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people that were so good at hiding that they were suffering from depression. So let's talk about some of the signs and symptoms, okay? Mm-hmm. So the first one is, of course, feeling sad, anxious, or have an empty mood. The second one is feeling hopelessness or pessimism. Now, for those who do not know what pessimism is, it's negativity. You know, I don't want to do this because, you know, this, you know, coming up with different reasons on why this is going to be a negative experience. Feelings of irritability, frustration, or restlessness. Feelings of guilt, worthlessness, or helplessness. Loss of interest or pleasure in hobbies and activities. Decreased energy, fatigue, or feeling slowed down. Difficulty concentrating, remembering, or making decisions. Difficulty sleeping, early morning awakening, or oversleeping. Changes in appetite or unplanned weight changes. So this can either be increased weight or decreased weight, because mental stability does affect these things. Thoughts of death or suicide attempts. Aches or pains, headaches, cramps, or digestive problems without a clear physical cause that do not ease even with treatment. Then, of course, suicide attempts or thoughts of death or suicide. What are your thoughts, D-Twizzle?
No, I think one big thing, and this is something that I kind of knows with my issues, is dealing with like self-criticism and inadequacy. There we go. Because a lot of times whenever I have a weird, like, I don't know if we call it like a phobia or anything, but people talk about fears. And sometimes, like, for me, it's like fear of failure, because I don't want to feel, I guess, like, I don't want to feel like as if I'm being incompetent. So sometimes even when I do, you know, get feedback or, you know, criticism, a lot of people say don't try to take it personal. But, you know, for me, I always feel it is a reflection on my ability to be able to go out there and accomplish a task, you know. So in return, it ends up causing a lot of anxiousness, a lot of restlessness for me. I can't turn that switch off like some people can when it comes to like we were discussing earlier about, like, you know, work and life and things like that, you know, not being able to turn that switch off, because, you know, that whole thing becomes your whole world, because, you know, you put it on such a pedestal, you know, your performance and abilities, you know, to use work as an example, you know, ends up becoming like your whole thing. Like, if I'm not good at this, then how can I be good at, you know, anything else that I'm trying to do, you know, because my time is so focused on this, you know, and it consumes me. I can't, you know, there's like days I've been at work where I'll enter the building, you know, in the morning and won't even leave the building until, you know, late at night. You know, won't go, you know, get lunch or anything like that. I'll basically just sit there at work at my desk and just, you know, just plug and play, you know, almost to the point where I got, you know, people coming on, you know, swing shifts and stuff. They'd be like, man, you're still here? Or I got, like, leadership people, like, man, I can't, you know, I was like, man, you should probably go home or something, man. You got to do, like, you've been here since, you know, like, this morning and things like that, you know. So that always, I'd always say, you know, to them kind of like as a joke, but it'd be like, oh, you know, with the training manager, our days never, days are never done, you know, type of mindset, you know, just try to, you know, and I'd say that to, you know, try to make laugh at, like, the things that's going on, because obviously, in the back of my mind, it's like, yeah, I know I've been here too long, but there's just so many things to do. And, you know, there's days where I feel like, man, like, did I accomplish anything today? Because I'm, you know, I've been trying to work on one thing and then something pops up with someone else. And then next thing you know, that takes 2 hours. And then boom, just like that, here it is, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, I still have to do that one thing I was set to accomplish.
Right.
So I don't know. It, you know, and that for me makes me question my ability to do my job. And then, you know, with my, you know, depression and stuff, you know, that stuff is kind of like lighter fuel, and that'll, you know, gaslight everything else. So it makes it, it, so, you know, that's when things really start kicking in for me, at least. Right.
So let's talk about some, now, mind you, we do have to express this. Not everyone who is depressed experiences every symptom. I mean, some will experience maybe a few symptoms. Others will experience a good majority. Several symptoms are going to be low mood and require a diagnosis of major depression. But some people will only have a few but distressing symptoms, you know, may actually benefit from some type of treatment. The severity and frequency of symptoms and how long they last is depending on the individual and the particular illness. Now, there are different risk factors that we have to talk about. You know, it could, now, it could be genetic, it could be biological, it could be environmental, and it could be psychological. You know, depression can happen at any age, but it mainly often begins in adulthood. You know, are there kids that have depression? Yes. I've seen kids with depression as early as age 5. And I've seen teenagers with depression. I've seen adults with depression. You know, it can happen at any given time. You know, and actually, depression is now recognized as occurring in children and adolescents. But it mainly presents itself with more prominent irritability than low mood. Many chronic mood and anxiety disorders in adults begin as high levels of anxiety in children. So there's a correlation between having childhood anxiety going into adult depression, which is very fascinating. But depression, especially in midlife or older adults, can co-occur with other serious medical issues or illnesses, such as diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and Parkinson's disease. The conditions are worse when depression is present, and research suggests that people who have depression and another medical illness tend to have more severe symptoms of both illnesses. Sometimes medication taken for these physical illnesses may cause side effects that contribute to depression. And a doctor experienced in treating these complicated illnesses can help work out the best treatment strategy. Now, some of the risk factors are, of course, personal or family history of depression, which, oddly enough, with more information coming out about depression, a lot more people are now figuring out that, oh, hey, you know, grandma suffered from this, or my uncle from two generations ago. Yeah, that'd be my bottle and my interacting with my TV remote. It happens if you hear it on here. But, you know, they're finding out that there is a family history of depression. You know, also major life changes, trauma, or stress affect depression. So it could be like a new job. It could be losing a job. It could be a natural disaster. It could be barely escaping a shooting, because that's happening a lot. You know, there's a lot of factors that can trigger depression. Also, certain physical illnesses and medications. Let's hit up the medications, actually.
Yeah.
Look at how many medicines are out there nowadays and the side effects are worse than what you have. And more often than not, most of them, these medications say they can cause depression. You can actually take a look on YouTube because there's tons of commercials for all these new medications.
Yeah, that's right.
And they express that, oh, hey, if you take this, you may actually have depressive episodic issues. Do I really want to take this medication? And it could be something as simple as acne. Mm. Acne. Or psoriasis. And yet, this medication will cause almost like near death. That's going to be another episode that we're going to have to discuss, like medication.
Yeah, big pharma, we're coming after you.
Well
not in that sense. Not in that way, but just with our thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're just saying, don't sue us.
Yeah.
Just saying. But anyways, so let's actually talk about some treatments and therapies. I mean, you actually stated that you're taking medication for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Now, how long have you been on the medication?
With this new one, I think I've been on this since, I'm going to say April.
Okay.
April time frame.
And it's working out a little bit better?
Yeah. I mean, it's working out. Like, it's weird because, I mean, like I said, it does what it needs to do as far as, like, toning it down. Because I was at a point where I thought I was, like, okay and, you know, got off of it. But then, like, things started happening and really fell back into some stuff. So now I'm, like, back on it now and doing better. You know, because it helped stabilize everything for me. So
it is stressed that once you start any type of medication, especially with antidepressants, do not get off of them. Even if you feel absolutely fine, stay on them unless if a doctor says, hey, we can probably lower the dose or find something that's going to still work just as well, but a different medication. You never want to stop the treatment. I mean, this isn't like, you know, a quick fix. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to us in the digital airwaves and you're thinking about getting off your antidepressants, please do not. I have seen many people get off medications thinking that they were fine, and the next thing you know, they slip and something happens and they're worse off. Only change the medication with a doctor's approval. Don't get off of it, because this is a lifelong treatment that you have to go through. Even if you're feeling like 100%, you have to stay on it. This is to benefit you. Now, granted, do we believe in most medications? There's some options out there that are a little bit better. We won't be discussing those due to the fact that will be April's 420 event. Anyways, no, we're not actually doing an April 420 event, because that one is one of those ones that can actually go into political.
And
I'd like to try to avoid that as much as possible.
It's a family show, after all.
We try to be as family as much as we possibly can, but it doesn't always happen that way.
No.
And to that, we actually say thank you to most of our fans for sticking with us. Now, there's medications, as we were talking about, because mm-hmm. you're on medication. There's also psychotherapy or talk therapy or counseling, as most people call it. And you're also doing that as well.
Yep.
And that one's working out for you as well, too, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Also, there is a combination of the two, which you're doing.
Yep.
But now if those treatments do not reduce symptoms, there's also electroconvulsive therapy and other brain stimulation therapies that you can explore.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because I didn't really, before went to new meds, I think that was something that the psychiatrist was talking about as far as, like, having to go and do something like that type of procedure where they put you like in this chair and then, you know, they hook you up to like this device and they run these little, like, I guess, like you said, like electric stimuli or something to help like activate stuff. And I know a part of me would be like willing to do something like that. You know, if it really just got to the point where just, you know, the symptoms start, you know, getting worse and things like that, that, you know, just to know that, I didn't even know that was something that even exists. I always thought it was just, you know, just medication and you just go from there.
So the thing is about ECT, it's something that's a little bit newer.
Yeah.
You know, even the other brain stimulation therapies, like the light therapy, is something that's a little bit newer that they've been working with. So even just looking at this information about ECTs, I mean, it provides relief for people with severe depression who have not been able to feel better with other treatments. It's an effective treatment for depression. In some severe cases where a rapid response is necessary or medications cannot be used safely, ECT can even be used as a first-line intervention. You know, once strictly an inpatient procedure, today ECT is often performed on an outpatient basis. So it shows how much this treatment has evolved. You know, it could be a series of sessions, typically 3 times a week for 2 to 4 weeks. Now, is it an actual end-all, cure-all for depression? The answer is no. You know, now it may actually cause some side effects. Confusion, disorientation, and memory loss. Usually the side effects are short-term, but sometimes memory problems can linger, especially for the months around the time of the treatment course. Advances in ECT devices and methods have made modern ECT safe and effective for most patients. Now, of course, when going with any type of new treatment, and we cannot stress this enough, talk to your doctor or healthcare provider about the potential benefits and side effects of doing a new treatment. You know, you don't want to just be like, yeah, I want to do this right now. No, talk to someone who knows about it. You know, do myself and D Twizzle know about it? No. Mm-hmm. Once again, we're not professionals by any means, but we may know some professionals.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I do have a thought, but we may have to wait until season 6 to talk about it, about actually having a professional here that can talk further about depression treatment, or even season 7, depending on how busy they are. We'll see. But but the wonderful thing is that ECT is not painful. You don't even feel the electrical pulses. Now, before ECT, a patient is put under brief anesthesia and given a muscle relaxant. Within 1 hour of the treatment session, which only takes a few minutes, the patient is awake and alert. So it's almost like for everything that occurs, they're going to make sure that you're well taken care of. And it won't even take that long to actually do the treatment.
In and out. Well, I'm going to say like in and out, but like you said, it is an outpatient procedure, so.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, it's an option for those that would like to not have to deal with medication too often. You know, it can be used for first line. You know, it's safer. But then again, looking at some of the side effects, it makes me... It isn't as bad as other things.
Right.
Now, what can we do to make living with depression a little bit better? So, D Twizzle, what thoughts do you have on it?
So for me, you know, the best thing is to, you know, do some research, do some knowledge, understand about, you know, the things that you're going through, some of the, you know, symptoms and side effects, so you can be more educated on, you know, signs to look out for. You know, and that's sometimes the biggest thing. It's like you have to be able to do some self-examination and know when you know, your thoughts are starting to, you know, deviate from, you know, something normal to something more abnormal. And I know, and this is just like for me, what I try to do personally that I am starting to, you know, be more open about is actually having, you know, talking with people who you trust, you know, people who aren't going to be, you know, as judgmental, you know, to be able to express some of the thoughts that you're going on in your mind. Because sometimes it is that you just need to, you know, get this weight off your chest, and being able to do that. And I'm trying to do that a little bit more, because it's easy. And I know for me, it's like, to me, to express that, it's like, I don't want to burden people with my problems. And sometimes that's where a lot of those, you know, thoughts go down and, you know, lead you into. Just a couple of other different things that I've done. I'm a big fan of float therapy. That's basically like where you go to like a place that's like a float tank or something. And, you know, it's like filled full of like Epsom salt, you know, and water and stuff. And then you just sit there and kind of, you know, lay out there and you kind of like zone out for a little bit. For me, it's allowed me to kind of clear my head. You know, you get that sense of weightlessness and stuff, you know. So sometimes even like for your body, in and of itself has that sense of weightlessness. And then, you know, you know, at some point, you know, your mind ends and you don't know where the water is, where your mind ends. You know, so it's a way of therapy to kind of helps out, you know, more, I feel like more holistically, you know, even like doing like yoga and things like that. Something that I did try a couple of months ago was something called Reiki. Yeah, Reiki. So, you know, and it was different. You know, I didn't know what to like really expect going into it, but it's like, you know, I remember I was like in this room and the person who was doing it was like trying to explain the process and how they used that, because it originated in Japan. Right.
So overall, Reiki is what would be considered holistic energy manipulation.
Because
dealing, so if you take a look at Eastern medicine, the idea of chakras, energy points, Reiki is meant to utilize the energy of the Reiki master to heal the individual that is having the issues or concerns. By focusing energy at certain chakra points and allowing the energy to flow into them while absorbing the negative energy. So it's an interesting practice. And it's a very long-term practice that has come to light more recently. Now, for a lot of people that have done Reiki, that have, you know, had it done to them, they swear by it. You know, it helps them. I have not tried Reiki. So I'm a little bit skeptical about it. But if it's a way to assist people, then I'm all for it. So what else have you tried?
Between that one, those two in particular, I know when I was in Seattle, you know, I would do, they had like this Korean, it was like a yoga at the end of the day. But I don't know, there was something different about it. I think it was just like their style, because it was ran by like a Korean holistic type of shop. So it was very intimate in the sense that, you know, they did a lot of movements, but there was a lot of like parts where you would do like a lot of like body sensations. So you'd be like, you know, opening up like the whole chakra things, and you know, that's where they base most of it
right
around. You know, and it was just something different for me, just because, you know, it allowed me to feel a little bit more relaxed, allowed me to concentrate and, you know, gather energy. And it's just unique because, you know, you learned a lot, you know, about yourself during those processes by talking to the instructor and understanding things. And it's so weird because I remember I had a brief conversation with one of the instructor, and she had mentioned, you know, something that still kind of sticks with me to this day. She had mentioned how, you know, you're someone who has, you know, great strength, but yet you still have very like low energy. You know, sometimes you would come into the place and I could just tell on your face that you're kind of like, you know, things are kind of, you know, like you're sullen in your face and stuff. And, you know, and it's interesting because I kind of look at that and kind of thought, you know, how that kind of related, you know, and it wasn't saying anything that she was being like insulting or anything, but it's just like an observation that she had noticed.
Right.
You know, and I kind of relate that to maybe that being a part of, you know, the things that I'm going through with my depression and stuff. It's like you have the strength to be able to get through it, but sometimes there's days where I just don't have the energy isn't there.
So, because you mentioned Korean yoga, I actually found on bodyandbrain.com Korean yoga and what it is. It was founded in 1980 by H.E. Lee. Korean yoga is an energy-based, dynamic mind-body yoga that combines stretching, flowing movements, deep breathing, and meditation. Merging the ancient wisdom of ki energy training with modern techniques, Korean yoga seeks to maximize the body energy. Korean yoga's simple format is focused on the development of the body's core strength as the basis of mental, physical, and spiritual health. Korean yoga is often described as a blend of yoga, tai chi, and martial arts, which... Ladies and gentlemen, if you know your martial arts history, tai chi is one of the three internal Chinese martial arts styles. Tai chi, Hianxing, and Zen Yi, or Bagua. I mean, you know, we'll talk about that later, mm-hmm. about internal, external martial arts styles. But, continuing on, it operates on the idea that physical health, emotional well-being, and also spiritual satisfaction are all integrated. The practice gives students practical techniques to teach them how to care for all three aspects of their lives, so they can begin to practice a yoga lifestyle. So there's a lot of information here. So remember, it's called bodyandbrain.com. And if you're looking for the URL, it isn't A-N-D. It's actually bodyandbrain.com. And you can actually just type in Korean yoga and it'll actually bring it up. So, I mean, what other things have you tried to, you know, help?
Let's see, because outside of that, I mean, those are probably like the top two things that I did unique. I mean, I know for me what always helped, and this was back when I was over in England dealing with a lot of, you know, doing a lot of stuff. It was just really just being able to travel. Sometimes you just have to get out the area that you're at. And just change to see something new. And that always was something, I think for me, was a good way for me to try to reset. I was lucky enough where we were at, a lot of times I didn't have to take like personal leave. Sometimes they gave us like little like passes where I could go and, you know, fly to a different like country and just spend like 3 days, or if we had time and I would go to a different, you know, spot in England and just spend a couple of days there just walking around. But that was the uniqueness of being over there in like Europe, just having things are so much closer in proximity and a lot of things are within walking distance. So even if I wasn't paying attention, you know, just being out there and just walking around, you know, and not having to be like, oh, I got to hop into my car and then I have to drive all the way over here and then I got to hop out of there and then do this thing and then hop back in my car and then run all, you know, it just gave me a little sense of like freedom and no knock against, you know, this area out here, but, you know, compared to being, you know, stateside to being, you know, over there in Europe, there is a lot of night and day when it comes to, you know, just mobility in general, you know, knowing that you could walk out your house and be able to go to like a, and be within, distance of like a city center, it's kind of enlightening in a sense, because you're not like, one, you are getting exercise and you are going out and walking about, even if, you ain't feeling like the best. Because I know since I've been here, I don't want to call them like the pressy walks, but, sometimes I would walk from, my house all the way down to like Woodland Park and stuff, and just kind of get out there, sit around, walk around, out there on the benches and stuff, and just try to, how would they say it? Like embrace nature.
Right.
Or things, just something, because it is something physical that I can do, and, try to do that in a sense. Do something where, you are exerting some form of energy, even if it is, you ain't got to like run anywhere, but just even getting out there and just going on like a walk or something can, it's simple, it can be effective, and, just have like some good music or something you can listen to and, and just focus on that.
Yeah. So some other examples aside from physical activity, which, is good, like just 30 minutes out of the day, just get out, go for a walk. We're not saying go for like a full on hike. We're not saying swim 15 miles. Mm-hmm. No, just simple 30 minutes, get outside, walk around, enjoy the fresh air. Just that is enough to release enough positive, like, endorphins, oxytocin, all those feel good chemicals that you need from your brain. I mean, trying to maintain a regular bedtime and wake up time, eating regular healthy meals. The key word is healthy. A lot of times people that are depressed will dive into extremely bad foods. Like the candy bars, the ice cream, the pizzas. Now, don't get me wrong. Whenever I have my own personal episode, I forget about eating healthy. You shouldn't let it become a constant. You should try to keep that balance. Do what you can. Do what you can as you can. Decide what must get done first and what can wait. Try to connect with other people and talk with people who you trust, which you did mention.
Yeah.
Postpone important decisions such as getting married or divorce or changing jobs until you feel better. There's no rush in things. And sometimes there may be a small rush depending on the situation, but take it whenever you're ready to. Don't feel pressured about something. If you're not ready because you are feeling depressed, you're feeling unbalanced, it's understandable. Don't rush into it. Don't put yourself in a position where you feel worse. Then, of course, avoid using alcohol, nicotine, or drugs, including medications not prescribed to you. Now, there are some other things that you could possibly do. D-Twizzle did mention travel. Just being able to get out and be away from the place that is weighing you down. Me, personally, I love working out. If I feel depressed, I'm at the academy hitting the bag. Granted, yeah, I do need to pay my Planet Fitness membership and actually start going to the gym, but it's hard to do because I have to try to find an actual balance to be able to go to work, start going every day to the academy after work, and actually finding time to actually lift weights, which may become just a weekend thing, like early in the morning, just go lift. Yeah. Although I would rather lift, if I can bring myself to start doing this, waking up super early in the morning. Oof. To go lift, come home, shower and everything. But then it doesn't leave me too much with a life. And I'd like to be able to have a little bit of a life. So I'm going to figure something out. But I know starting tomorrow, I'm back at the academy after work pretty much daily.
No, I think that's good. Because I was honestly having thoughts about, because normally I try to get a workout around 8, but I'm really thinking about maybe trying to get there, maybe like 7 or something, just to do something different, change something about my routine.
Yeah, because, it's a big thing. Like sometimes you just need that change in routine just to make yourself feel better, just to shock the system. Who knows? You work on base. Mm-hmm. you could easily go to the fitness center. Mm-hmm. Be like, you know what? I'll be at the fitness center at 6 o'clock. Work out. Then by 7 o'clock, you can shower real quick, grab something to eat, and boom, you're already at work, ready to go. You know, just do that at least 3 times a week, just to see how you like it. And if you have to increase it, you can. If you need to change up the days, you can. If you need to change up the workouts, you can. You know, keep it as flexible as possible. You know, that's what I like to do. So it's just a thought that you can run with. Because I know Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I'm going to be doing jiu-jitsu. I know Mondays and Wednesdays, if I go teen and adult class, helping with that. I know Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm teaching the Tiny Bears class. I'm teaching the kids class. And currently, we're slightly on hiatus with the kickboxing class because we haven't been advertising it too much. We're going to start re-advertising it because most of our hardcore people have injured themselves, but not in relation to the class. Like, things in life happen, so hopefully we'll be able to get more people for kickboxing class, or we go and start doing a Tuesday, Thursday teen and adult class, or we do something a little bit different. But at least, you know, I have the option after the beginning kids class where I have an hour to myself to work out, punch the bag, work on whatever I need to. So you just need to find something to just shock the system just a few times. Just change up the routine a little bit. And that's what a lot of people with depression do. They live a life where it's point A, point B, point C. It's almost paint by numbers. There's no change. There's no difference. It's just the same thing over and over and over again. So maybe you should change it up a little bit. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, or, I mean, if you're willing, and I have spare jiu-jitsu gis, you're more than welcome to come join me and roll on the mat.
No, okay. Well, you know, this, you know, time is, oh man.
Yeah, don't make any excuses.
Oh, what time is it? Oh man. Oh, I got a call from Lassie. What's that, Lassie? Jimmy's stuck in the well.
Wow. Wow. But seriously, honestly, there's actually good scientific studies showing that people with depression or anxiety or whatever, if they do some type of like combat sport, mm-hmm. Whether it is, well, pretty much all combat sports and martial arts, let's be realistic. Boxing is the oldest Western martial art, aside from wrestling, because both of those were started in Greece. That's how the Olympics started. But if you're doing some type of physical combat training, whether it's wrestling, boxing, you know, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, what have you, it actually gives you the endorphins you need to help combat depression. And whenever you're on the mat, you're not thinking about what it is that's making you depressed. Mm-hmm. You're focusing in on the techniques. You're focusing in on the nuances of the style of the art. Whenever you're sparring, you're just focusing on sparring. Whenever you're rolling, you're focusing in on rolling. Whatever has you down during that day, it just, you leave it at the door and you don't pick it back up whenever you leave out the school.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to try that with like guitar playing and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trying to use that to maybe, you know, stimulate a part of my brain, you know, and I think my intentions is to really, once I get, you know, finally done with this show, can really kind of just focus on that, because I'll be the first to admit I tend to overburden myself with different things every day.
Yeah, right.
Because my whole thing is like, oh, I don't want to be so bored here and blah, blah, blah. I got to do all this stuff in order to keep myself occupied, or else I'll be, you know, all sad and, you know, mopey and stuff like that, you know. But now it's like at a point where it went the opposite. pendulum swung too many ways on the other side. Now it's like, oh crap, now I have all this stuff going on, and now things are starting to feel like hella overwhelming, and now I'm not being able to really devote anything to anything because everything's being spread out in many different ways.
Right.
So,
I mean, at least after this show, you can take a small break, you know, and we don't mean after the podcast, folks. We mean, you know, D-Twizzle is actually going to be part of, can you say the name of the show again before I butcher it?
Church Basement Ladies.
So he plays the pastor in Church Basement Ladies, which we have to have a discussion about that because, yeah. But needless to say, after that show is done, you can relax. It's one less thing off the plate. You can focus in on guitar. You can be get ready to enjoy the holidays. You can start your list for the Lust List coming out in November, folks, so stay tuned for that one. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for you just to heal up a bit. So, you know, it's okay once in a while to take something off the plate and not overburden yourself. You just have to find those specific things that you know are good go-tos that will be able to help you. And this is just for everybody. You don't have to burden yourself with so many projects. Find the ones that you're passionate about, the ones you know you can dive into, and it leaves you happy. That's the important thing. So, D-Twizzle, is there anything else you would like to add about this subject?
I think at the end of the day, you know, I just remind people of, you know, that there's still, you know, there's hope at the end of the day. This is probably one of the best ways to really counter, you know, depression is understanding that there's hope in everything. I always tell myself that it can't rain every day. You know, it's just a way of a little mini positive word that I try to say to myself in order to kind of realize that, you know, whatever I'm going through, it's not always going to be that way, you know, and that's why I always say it can't rain every day. So just understanding that, you know, as someone, you know, who goes through this, you know, I am someone who kind of relate to what you're going through. Understand that, you know, you can deal with this in a positive way. Yeah, this doesn't, isn't something that has to consume you. I would say it's something that's not who you are. It's something that, yes, it's a part of you, but it doesn't define who you are as a person. You know, anybody who's going through any type of physical ailment, you know, yes, it's a part of you, but that doesn't define your characteristics, how, you know, you treat people and things, and you don't have to let that be, you know, the one thing that everybody knows about you. You know, like, you can understand and explain it to them, but understand that you're still someone who is committed, you know, to your loved ones and to your friends and to any of your passions. You know, it's just something that, you know, it is a part of you, but it doesn't define you.
Exactly. Exactly. D-Twizzle, thank you for coming on tonight for this episode. You know, it takes a lot to talk about a topic like this, especially seeing how you're living it right now. So, brother, thank you for coming on. It's definitely enlightening. And, you know, just to anyone listening out there, if you are going through depression, if you ever feel like talking, and we say this many times, you can always reach out to us, whether through the Facebook group page or emailing us at CheshireLookingGlass@gmail.com, messaging us on Twitter. You know, if you just need someone to talk to, we're here. And we want to help. We're not professionals. We're not trained individuals. We're just people that care. So, on behalf of D-Twizzle, this has been another episode of Cheshire's Place, A Looking Glass and a Logical Madness. I have been your host, the Melodious One, Mr. Cheshire. And just as my namesake, the Cheshire Cat, I am everywhere, yet nowhere. Stay tuned for next weekend's episode where we discuss social media horrors. Have a good night. Thank you.